WHRL Emporia. It's 12 o'clock.
Yalaba shive wanyani wu. Yabala labala labala. Yajo magala seni wu shanaku sanayu.
Habari Gani Hotep Alafia. Welcome. Greetings, my friends. I am Madafo. Welcome to another edition of A Season's Griot. We are delighted for this opportunity to join you in the celebration of life, love, peace, family, truth, compassion, joy, and all the wonders and beauty of our children. Our children, our most precious jewels, the most important elements in the universe. They are our future, the spirit of all that is good and right. It's Kwanzaa time.
Kwanzaa is an American holiday celebration that pays tribute to the rich cultural roots of Americans of the African ancestry. The word Kwanzaa comes from the East African language of Kiswahili and means the first or the first fruits of the harvest. Kwanzaa is observed from December 26th through January 1st and was founded by Maulana Karenga in 1965. Kwanzaa is unique because it is neither a religious, political, nor heroic holiday celebration, but rather a cultural one, which speaks to the relevance of a system of family based in principles and values and community nurturing. At its core, Kwanzaa is based on seven fundamental principles of living, referred to as the Nguzo Saba, which means in Kiswahili language, seven principles.
Family by Janae Young. Family means more to me than just a six-letter word, because they make me shine brightly every day in this world. Family means more to me than just a group of people, because they fill me when I'm empty and know we are all equal. Family means more to me than just people living in a household, because we are stronger than they could ever be and shine brighter than gold. Now don't you see? We are all in God's family. I love you and you love me. This is what family means to me.
Who's my daddy?
Zay.
Well, who's my mommy?
Nana.
Who's Nana's mommy? Do you remember Nana's mommy?
Yes.
Her name is Dorothy Zilton Jenkins. She was my grandma. She was my Nana. Let's see, granddaddy, daddy's daddy. Right? Granddaddy?
Yeah, it's granddaddy.
Okay, daddy's granddaddy. But granddaddy. His mommy.
Helen.
Helen Graham.
Helen Graham.
And then granddaddy's daddy was who? You know granddaddy's daddy?
His name was Harry Graham.
Harry Graham is granddaddy's daddy. We don't know them. They were gone before we came along. But those are our ancestors. They're the ones that our parents came from. And then... Yeah, and then guess who Zay's daddy is?
I know.
What? Who's Zay's daddy? Zay's daddy was, we call him Pops, but his name was Lloyd Wilson Sr.
That's your daddy?
That's Zay's daddy. All right, Joshy, who's Zay's mommy?
Zay's mommy's Lila Mae.
And Sky?
Lila Mae.
Lloyd. Lila Mae Wilson.
Lila Mae Wilson was Zay's. All right, who was Zay's grandma? Sarah Brown. We called her Mama. That was my great-grandmother. So we know who our mommies and daddies and grandmas and granddaddies are.
And now, our moms.
Yeah, and our godmommies. But guess what? Remember we talked about Frederick Douglass? And he was a slave. Did we know about his daddy?
No.
Why didn't he know his daddy?
He didn't have a name.
Because the people sold him and... Frederick Douglass never had a chance to meet his daddy.
He never knew his dad, but he knew his mom. They know who his mom was, right?
Harriet.
Oh, that Douglas. Was his mom's name? Good job, Josh. Frederick Douglass was one of our famous black leaders. He helped to free the slaves. There were other black people that helped other black people as well to gain rights. Who were some of them? What about Dr. Martin Luther King? Malcolm X? What about the lady on the bus? Miss Rosa Parks? Anybody else to help to free the slaves? Or help black people gain freedoms?
Harriet Tubman.
So there were a lot of people who came before us to help us be where we are. We have to be thankful to them for paving the way for us to be able to learn and to go to school and to be able to help other people too, right? And when we get older, we're going to help people as well, right? Yes. All right.
Diga se jele wu e jangu in jilea.
Ancestors have passed on, transitioned to the spiritual realm, and with the wonderful stories and memories we have of their time with us, we remain connected eternally. The monuments we create in their behalf are testimonials that honor the service they rendered to the family community.
Max Fields.
Margie Felton.
Uncle Josh.
Lila May.
Maxwell Overton Page.
Beulah May.
Flossie McIntyre.
Orban.
William McIntyre.
Aunt Maddie.
Melba Page.
Jackie Torrance.
Gerald.
Mary McIntyre.
Joshua.
Bobby.
Mrs. Rooks.
Catherine Fields.
Connie Page.
Thomas Jervy.
Karen Holdridge.
Mama Gussie.
Alice Fields.
The seven principles of Kwanzaa are umoja, which means unity, to strive for and maintain unity in the family, community, nation, and race. Kuji Shagulia, which means self-determination, to define ourselves, name ourselves, create for ourselves, and speak for ourselves, instead of being defined, named, created for, and spoken for by others. Ujima, which means collective work and responsibility, to build and maintain our community together and make our sisters' and brothers' problems our problems and to solve them together. Ujamaa, which means cooperative economics, to build and maintain our own stores, shops, and other businesses, and to profit from them together. Nia, which means purpose, to make our collective vocation the building and developing our community in order to restore our people to their traditional greatness. Kuumba, which means creativity, to do always as much as we can, in the way we can, in order to leave our community more beautiful and beneficial than we inherited it. Imani, which means faith, to believe with all our hearts in our people, our parents, our teachers, our leaders, and the righteousness and victory of our struggle.
Well, oh, well, well, it's storytelling time. Well, oh, well, well, it's storytelling time.
Well, Brother Madafu, I'm going to tell you about this little frog. And this little frog is very frustrated. And you know why he's so frustrated? It's because he has talent. Now, we all got talent. But just because we got it don't mean everybody want to see and hear it. Well, this little frog felt that he had talent. As a matter of fact, he wanted to be a singer. Now I ask you, have you ever heard of a frog singing before? Rabbit, But this frog was burning with desire to just sing his song. And one day all this frustration started bubbling inside him, and there's something about frustration that has to come out. And so one day, those frustration bubbles started popping out of his eyes, popping out of his nose, popping out of his mouth. And he said to himself, you know, I'm tired of feeling this way. I'm tired of holding all this inside me. I want to be a singer. Yeah, I'm going to sing. And so that little frog decided to share his dreams with his parents. He said, Mama, Daddy, you know, I want to be a singer. Now they looked at him, and even though they had never heard of a frog singing before, this was their child. And so they encouraged him. They said, son, you can do it. You can be anything you want to be. So this gave the frog some confidence. Yeah. And he said, now, you know something? Maybe I should talk to the birds. Now, in the forest, the birds were considered the most beautiful, the most talented singers all over the place. And so the frog decided to ask them if he could join their group. Oh, he gathered up his confidence. He hip-hopped over to the tree trunk, and he said, knock, 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 knock. Oh, birds, it's me, the frog. Can I hop up? Well, the head bird looked out of the treehouse and says, oh, it's you, frog. Yes, please hop up and join us. Yes, I'll take a seat over there in the corner, way over there in the corner. Well, the frog sat down, and he got kind of quiet because he started losing some of that confidence. So, way after a while, the head bird said, frog, why have you come to see us? How may we help you? Well, you see, said the frog, I want to join your group. That's wonderful, said the head bird. As a matter of fact, we could use some help. You can help us carry our worms, okay? Ooh, carry your worm. No, said the frog. That's not what I had in mind. Oh, no, said the head bird. Well, frog, what do you have in mind? Well, you see, I want to sing with your group. Sing, an ugly-looking thing like you. You have warts all over you. Get out of our home. Get. Oh, those birds surrounded that frog. They picked him up, and they threw him from their treehouse. Oh, when he got home, he felt so bad. He was aching deep inside himself. You might say that frog had the blues. Dooba, dooba, doo. Feeling kind of blue. Down and low, don't know where to go. Dooba, dooba, doo. Feeling kind of blue. Down and low, don't know where to go. But I gotta stay strong, and I'm gonna hop along, 'cause this frog has got to sing his song. Now that frog wanted to cry, but that frog did not shed one tear. Instead, he began to practice and practice and practice and practice. And then he began to think. Now, you know, those birds sing every Friday night at the big time weekly concert. But they're not in charge of it. Mm-mm. Brother Fox is. And so the frog decided to go and see Brother Fox. He knocked on his cave. Knock, 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 knock. Oh, Brother Fox, send me the frog. I got something I want to ask you. The fox looks out and says, okay, frog, what do you want? Oh, Brother Fox, I want to be on the concert this Friday night. What can you do? I want to sing. Sing. Get out of here. Get. Oh, please, Brother Fox, please give me a chance. Said the fox. You know something? Perhaps I could use you, frog. Why don't you show up 8 o'clock sharp, okay? I'm going to put you on first, okay? Well, when the frog heard this, he was so happy. Ooh, he just lit up inside. Oh, he was just, he just couldn't be still. And before he knew it, Monday rolled around, Tuesday rolled around, Wednesday rolled around, Thursday rolled around, and finally it was Friday. The frog bathed all that day. Oh, he bathed his green little fingers. He scrubbed his green little toes, and he brushed his green little hair, and he parted in the middle and slicked down the sides. Oh, that frog was looking good. And then he looked down at his reflection in the pond, and it was as though he was seeing himself for the very first time. And that frog said, I am beautiful, and tonight I'm going to do my thing. Well, before he knew it, it was 7:15, 7:30, 7:45, and almost 8 o'clock. Ooh, and the animals were coming in. But the frog was backstage. Ooh, he was so nervous, he couldn't be still. Oh, he was just shaking. And before he knew it, Brother Fox came out onto the stage to start the show. Hey, hey, ladies and gentlemen, yes, yes, thank you. Presenting for the first time on the stage, the frog who thinks he's a singer. Come on, let's clap. Yay. Well, the frog came out. He saw his parents. They were sitting on the front row. Oh, they were clapping. They were so proud of him. But the other animals, oh, they were roaring with laughter. And the frog took the microphone. He was so nervous. He opened his mouth and he says, And before that frog could put the period at the end of that sentence, before he could get out a word, the elephant jumped up. I don't want no frog sing. He grabbed a pineapple and threw it, hit that frog right there in the head. Wow! Then the lion jumped up. I don't want no frog sing. He grabbed a banana and threw it, hit that frog right there in the mouth. Woo! Soon the animals were booing that frog. Boo, 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 boo. Get off the stage. Boo, 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 you jive turkey. We don't want you to sing. Boo! They booed that poor little frog right off the stage. He had to hide under the stage. Oh, where Brother Fox rushed back on. Calm down. Okay, just take a seat. Take a seat. Now, presenting for your entertainment, the birds who really can sing. Don't worry about that frog. He would never, ever be a singer. Birds, come on up. Quick. Well, the birds flew out, and they began to tweet and whistle. Well, the animals were used to this. And so the elephant said, that's more like it. That is what we want to hear. Everyone was resting peacefully except that frog. That frog was tired of being pushed around. That frog was tired of being frustrated. He jumped back on that stage. He grabbed that microphone from the bird and said, now listen here. I came here to sing a song tonight. I have a dream inside me. I have a song, and I'm going to let it out. I don't care if you don't want to hear it. I don't care if you are asleep. I'm going to wake you up. And even though that frog was nervous, he took a deep breath, and in the style of what we now call the boogie-woogie, he began to bellow out his tune. Well, the elephant heard that. The elephant opened one eye, and then she opened the other eye, and she said, "Frog, is that you?" The frog started do ba 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 do ba. The elephant jumped up on the stage. She started swinging her hips from side to side, doing a dance we now call the bump. Then the lion jumped up. Hey, I like that sound. Frog, is that you? The lion started shaking his body this away and that away and every which way, doing a dance we now call the twist. Do ba 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 do ba. Soon the snakes were boogalooing and the giraffes were doing the jerk. The hyena started doing a slap and Brother Fox said, "Hey, I'm gonna do something." And Brother Fox started doing a mashed potatoes. Even the birds wanted to join in. We want a do ba do ba do ba do ba too. Tweet 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 do ba. Tweet, 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 do, ba, do, ba, do, ba, do, ba, do, ba, do, ba, tweet, 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 do, ba. Soon the whole forest was rocking, the joint was jumping, the animals were snapping their fingers, they were moving their feet, they were doing something that they had never done before. They were dancing. And Brother Fox came back on the stage. He grabbed the mic. He shouted, "Wow, Frog, you are a genius. You have given us something new." Well, from then on, the Frog was allowed to sing every Friday night at the Big Time Weekly Concert. And as my granddaddy Murphy used to say, "Honey child, that is how rhythm and blues was born. Do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do- We all have the ability to share our talents with the world. And let's remember that frog. And remember that even though we may be frustrated, we have to let it out. We have to practice Kuji Chakalia, self-determination, because that's what the frog had, and that's what got him through.
We'll be right back with more of A Season's Griot from PRI, Public Radio International. Welcome back to A Season's Griot on PRI, Public Radio International. I'm Madafo. This year, we're hearing from our valuable young people, our children. My Daddy is a Man by Madafo Anochi. My daddy is a man, a big, big man, too. When he stands up and I look at him, his head touches the sky. Sometimes he picks me up in his arms and I am just as big as he is. And when he throws me in the air, I can fly like a bird. I love my daddy. And he loves me too. Know how I know? He tells me so all the time. My daddy is a man, a big, big man too. Sometimes he takes me to the barber shop and we get our hair cut with some other big men and they laugh out loud and talk about baseball and the president and everything. Some things I don't know about what they're saying because I'm still a little boy. But my daddy says, one day I'll know what they say because I will be a big, big man, just like them. He promised. My daddy is a man, a big, big man, too. The other day I was running real fast and I tripped and fell down and scarred my knee. I was bleeding, and it hurt it, too. I started to cry, but my daddy came and picked me up and took me to clean it. He put some alcohol on it, and that hurt worse than the fall. My daddy said that I was going to be fine, though. Then he put a Band-Aid on it. It looks cool, too. Know what? My daddy showed me a scar on his knee where he fell when he was a little boy, just like me. Now, I can't wait to take off the Band-Aid, so my knee will look just like my daddy's own. Do you know about Kwanzaa? Me neither, but my daddy is going to teach me. We already have our canara, a unity cup, a straw mat, and tomorrow we are going to buy some red, black, and green candles. I can hardly wait. I love my daddy, and he loves me too. Know how I know? He tells me so all the time.
When we nurture our children with compassion and love, we celebrate and honor the best of ourselves. The coming generations are the seeds of our future. It is their understanding that will bring the light to a brighter day. So, in the Kwanzaa tradition, A Seasons Griot is proud to lift up a few of the fine young spirits we know and love in this segment called Simply Great Kids. Jessica McCray is 12 years old in the 7th grade. She is an AB Honor Roll student and has been a Girl Scout for the past 4 years. Jessica is a member of the school's track team and participates in the shot put and discus throw. She's a basketball enthusiast and an avid artist who loves to draw and paint. Jessica also enjoys listening to music, cooking, and hanging out with her friends. She was awarded her class's Citizenship Award and looks forward to someday becoming a great chef and artist. Namaya Crespo is a 9th grade honors student, a national junior Olympic jump rope champion, and gold medal winner for speed double Dutch jump rope. She is a camp counselor at the University of Miami Urgent Incorporated Youth Empowerment Summer Camp and desires to study law. Jasmine Young is a 9th grade honors student who has been recognized on the A Honor Roll for the past 3 years. She plays piano and clarinet, is a member of her high school's math club, a people-to-people student ambassador, plays soccer, and is teen vice president of the local chapter of Jack and Jill of America. Jasmine serves on the junior usher board and is an acolyte in the church her family attends. Jasmine aspires to be an architect.
The Poetess by Madafo Anochi. She rhymes with words from the other side of the universe. The poetess brings the rhythms. Listen to her. Sip, pow, bow, splang, snooka. She speaks the words of truth and love and understanding. She is committed to the word, and her poetry dedicated to the God and goddesses within us all. It's the good she brings to the sweet bop, balama bop, rebop. Clear, soulful, simplicity of sound, thought, and mind, bending words conjured from the depths and extremes of somewhere, sometime, somehow. She is amazing, the poetess. Taking our minds on journeys heretofore unexplored in directions the compass is unable to measure, on excursions to the edge of the universe, dropping us off and picking us up on her return. She is poetess, rhyming, slamming, jamming with words from the other side of the universe. Sweepapa lupa lamba sto. Vipaka, Rama Mama, Kaka, Fodo Do, traipsing on the wings of Marimba, Zora, Angelou, Hans Berry, light to the world, inspirational, nurturing words speaking what we want to, need to hear, to read, write, her Spatulubasa, Buluta Mamba, poetess. Rhymes with words from the other side of the universe.
I grew up in Rocky Mount, North Carolina, and lived with my mother and her two old maid sisters after my father died. And so I had to hear all sorts of stories of their growing up. We lived in the house that they grew up in years and years before. One of those days, my Aunt Flossie, the old maid school teacher, told me we were going to go and dig up artichokes. Well, I didn't want to go in Miss Olivia's yard because she'd been dipping snuff and spitting out there in her yard. I'd seen her for years. We'd go by her house when we'd go to church, and she'd see us, and we'd say, "Hey, Miss Olivia," and she said, "How you little girls doing?" She had one of those little things called a toothbrush in her mouth where she would dip her snuff, and I don't think she had many teeth in her mouth. And then we did go to dig these artichokes. Well, after digging them and my aunt pickling them, I loved those artichokes. I waited and waited and waited till they got ready. They were canned. And then one day I asked my mother, "When are the artichokes going to be ready?" And she said, "Oh, Flossie's been eating a jar of those pickles every night at bedtime." And after all my hard work of digging, I was about to miss those artichokes. When I was expecting my first daughter, I told my mother, "Please put me a jar of artichoke pickle on the bus and send them to me." And she did. And that was the beginning of my knowing I really had a passion for those artichoke pickles. This is my poem, Artichoke Pickle Passion, a sonnet by Beverly Fields Burnett. In Southern Springs, we dug for artichokes in Ms. Olivia's tall and weedy yard. She dipped her snuff, but never ever smoked. At 85, she wasn't avant-garde. Her back of spittings grew the vegetable. Well-nourished were the tubers, strong the stalks. And even though their worth was questionable, with hoe in hand, we dug, postponing talk. Once washed, soaked, sliced, they met some torrid brine. Aromas flew on steamy clouds of heat. When canned, the waiting was the longest time. How many weeks or months before we eat? In Southern Springs, we dug the precious root. And still this day, it is my passion fruit.
The Legend of Cut Deep by Madafo Anochi. My parents were born in a little tobacco farming town in South Kakilaki, so small that when the first apartment building was built, oh, maybe 10 years ago, everyone went downtown just to see this modern-day wonder. Now, for those who lived in lantern-lighted homes, tended barnyard animals, and prayed for a successful growing season, this was a phenomenon to behold. Something special. Apartments? Houses stacked on top of one another? Central air conditioning? The modern age had finally come to this little hamlet in the middle of nowhere, South Kakilaki. It was just 2 years ago that a second traffic light was installed right across from the old Sears and Roebuck building. Can you imagine the traffic tie-up that occurred with those five cars in the county? All the folk went downtown just to cross the street on the green light. Some of them crossed it two and three times. This event became so popular that the mayor gave away two coupons for strawberry sundaes at the Polar Bear Ice Cream Parlor. This was a big to-do. Lots of discussion about that light. One man got in a fight because he was called a jaywalker. But the police let him go, though, when he recognized it was Deacon Merriweather from the Fire Under the Water Baptized Baptist Church. I tell you, these people are something else. Now, On the weekends, some of these same folk would get together and walk to town to the Saturday night throwdown. And throwdown they did. Dirty Red Jake's juke joint is where they went to chase away the blues that had been plaguing them all week. With all that dancing and chucking and jiving going on, those wooden floors at Dirty Red's got put to the test. Dust was over everything. Liquor was free-flowing, the blues band was loud, and the women were wearing their favorite toilet water. This was the hottest thing going, especially when Dirty Red Jake, that's the owner of the joint, got 10 new records to put in the jukebox. Man, you ain't never seen such carry-ons. All of the records were blues recordings of a duo from over in the next county. They called themselves Fatback and Cabbage. Now, I mean to tell you, people came from as far away as Florence to dance the slow drag, eat pickled pig feet and those red-hot sausages, and drink some of the best stump-hole liquor this side of heaven. I tell you, boy, y'all should have been there that night when my cousin Cut Deep pulled out his hawk-billed knife. Everybody scattered. Cut Deep was known to cut somebody every Saturday night. It wasn't anything personal either. It had just come to be that way. You could count on it like the moon rise. No one knew who would be next, but they all knew that before Sunday morning worship, somebody would be wearing Cut Deep's trademark. Even if you didn't make it to Jake's, at the sight of that bandage, you knew that Cut Deep had worked his magic. And the strange thing about Cut Deep was he never made it a habit to cut anybody more than once. So if you had already felt the cold steel of Cut Deep's blade, you didn't have to worry. You could just concentrate on dancing, romancing, and getting highly inebriated. Ooh, Lord. From Monday to Friday, Cut Deep was a mild-mannered guy, the kind who would refuse a nickel after helping an old lady with her groceries. He was a handyman whose fenced-in front yard was overrun with all kinds of stuff, stuff he had collected and repaired, but nobody wanted. A mean, old, one-eyed bulldog named Butchie patrolled that yard like a sentry on permanent guard duty. They say the reason Butchie was so mean is because Cut Deep fed him gunpowder mixed in his dog food. That dog barked at everyone who came within 20 feet of that old rickety fence. Cut really loved that dog, too. Cut Deep's real name was Ezra Riley. Some people claim it was his name that made him so ornery. Others put the blame on that stump-hole rot-gut corn liquor he drank on Saturdays, because that was the only time he went hog wild. On every fifth Sunday morning, Cut Deep served as head usher in his half-uncle's fire-under-the-water baptized Baptist church. He stood there like a soldier, greeting everybody, resplendent in his well-pressed black and gray pinstripe suit that matched his gray starched shirt and gray spit-shine to the bone alligator old man comforts. Boy, he looked good. His hair was highly teased and greased and set into a well-kept process, and he had a curlicue curl that hung down the middle of his forehead. He also sported a fake diamond tie clip and had a gold tooth in his mouth. And if that wasn't enough, Cut sang first tenor in a local gospel group that called themselves Fire and Brimstone. Boy, that Cut was a mess, I tell you. Cut Deep has been gone for a while now. Nobody knows where he went or what come of him. But it's fair to say that he left his mark. So if you just happen to be traveling through a little hamlet about 50 miles west of Florence, South Carolina. And are fortunate enough to stop at one of those two stoplights in town, look closely at the people passing by. You're surely to see at least one with a scar along the side of their face. Now, that may be a coincidence or something that just happened to happen. But chances are you have just witnessed one of the victims of Cut Deep and his hawk-billed knife. Yeah, them were some good old memories of being caught up in the bush where the good pudding is at. Yes, that Cut Deep was a mess. A mess, I tell ya. Oh, yes. There's more to come on A Season's Griot from PRI, Public Radio International. Welcome back to A Season's Griot on PRI, Public Radio International. I'm Madafo. This year, we're hearing from our valuable young people, our children.
One Day by Jasmine Young. Today I'm in my youth, thought to not know much, anxiously awaiting the come of acceptance's touch, for the day they'll understand just what I'm capable of. And rank me with the best as I begin to tower above. One day I'll make a difference and do the world some good. Leave my mark with what I've done as an inspiration would. They'll see what I've become and hear what I've got to say. And everyone will remember I said it'd happen one day.
Again, A Season's Griot is proud to celebrate some great kids. Jessica Franks is an A Honor Roll middle school student. She has maintained perfect attendance for two consecutive years and is a member of the local youth chapter of the NAACP, the Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority, and still finds time to assist in preparing and serving food in her church. She plans to become an engineer and continue working in her community. Janae Young is a sixth grade honor student. She sings in the school choir and is a member of Region O Council for the Advancement of Minorities in Engineering. Janae is an AKA emerging young leader, a member of her school's math counts team, plays soccer, enjoys running, and is a member of the local Jack and Jill of America. Janae also serves on the junior usher board and is an acolyte at her church. Celia Crespo is an 8th grade A honor roll student at Palmetto Middle in Miami. A gold medal winner at the National Jump Rope Competition, sits in the first chair viola at her school orchestra, and studies drama at the University of Miami to pursue a career in theater. Joshua Graham is 11 years old and growing into a fine young man. He loves to read, ride his bicycle, and play the piano. Joshua is a homeschooled student and in the fifth grade. He played defenseman on his soccer team and had a championship season. Joshua is still contemplating his career goals and is enjoying the process as he witnesses the many possibilities available. As a great kid, Joshua expresses great joy at being a big brother to his two siblings.
This is the classic African-American folk tale, Br'er Rabbit and the Tar Baby. One day, Br'er Fox and Br'er Bear were sitting around in the woods, and they were talking about what they were going to do to the rabbit once they caught him. Br'er Fox leaned over to Br'er Bear. He said,
"Br'er Bear, that rabbit getting too sassy. I don't like the way he come lippity-clippity down the road like he's something. When I catch that rabbit, I go pluck out all he mustaches."
"Well, you know what? That ain't nothing, cause you know what I gonna do? When I catch that rabbit, I gonna take my fist and knock he head clean off." Well, that's the way the talk went all the day long. The two of them sitting around bragging about what they were going to do to the rabbit once they caught him. Well, by and by, Br'er Fox comes up with an idea, and right away they set to put it into motion. Now, this is what they did. First off, they went and got themselves a big wad of tar, and they made it into the shape like a baby, gave it some arms and some legs and a head and a stomach. And then to really make that thing look like it was for real, old Br'er Fox snatched some of the hair off the back of Br'er Bear and stuck it on the head of the thing. Then Br'er Fox said,
"Br'er Bear, help me carry this thing over by the big road. Old Br'er Rabbit shows to see it once it come hopping along."
And that's what they did. They carried that thing and they sat it under a tree, made it sit there and look like it was waiting in the shade. And after they did that, they hurried over to the other side of the road and hid themselves in the bushes so nobody could see them. And they didn't have to wait long either, because after a short while, they heard someone coming up the road. And he was whistling, humming, and singing. Right away, they knew who it was, Br'er Rabbit, just as frisky as old chicken. All of a sudden, Br'er Rabbit spies that Tar Baby.
"Howdy!"
But the Tar Baby didn't say anything. So Br'er Rabbit said it a little louder than before.
"I says, howdy do. What's the matter with you? Is you deaf or something? If he is, I can holler louder."
But the Tar Baby still wouldn't say anything. And old Br'er Fox and Br'er Bear, they lay low in the bushes. "We got him." Br'er Rabbit hasn't caught on to what's going on. So old Br'er Rabbit look at that Tar Baby, he says, "Don't you know how to say howdy like respectable folks say when they meets on the road? If you don't say howdy by the time I count to three, I'm going to take my fist and blip you in the nose." Well, the Tar Baby still didn't say anything, so old Br'er Rabbit started to count.
1, 2, 3.
And old Br'er Rabbit took his fist and he wheeled it around in the and he bip right upside that Tar Baby's head. But his fist got stuck in the tar and he couldn't pull it loose. And old Br'er Rabbit said, "You better let my fist go. If you don't let my fist go, I'm going to hit you with the other fist." Tar Baby still didn't say anything, so old Br'er Rabbit wound up real good with that other fist, and he smacked him upside the head with the other fist. But that fist got stuck in the tar, too. And there old Br'er Rabbit was with both fists all stuck up in the tar, and he could not pull them loose. And old Br'er Fox and Br'er Bear, they chuckle way down deep in their stomachs like this. Br'er Rabbit still hasn't caught on to what's going on. And old Br'er Rabbit look at that Tar Baby says,
"If you don't let my fist go, I'm going to take my behind foots and I'm going to kick you so hard your teeth go fall out on the ground."
Tar Baby still didn't say anything. So old Br'er Rabbit took his behind foot and he kicked that Tar Baby. But it got stuck in the tar. So old Br'er Rabbit kicked with the other behind foot. And there old Br'er Rabbit was with both fists and both behind feet all stuck up in the tar, and he could not pull them loose. Br'er Fox and Br'er Bear, they're doing all they can now to keep from giving themselves away. Like that. Brer Rabbit still hasn't caught on to what's going on. So Brer Rabbit look at that Tar Baby. He says, I'm going to give you one last chance to turn me loose. If you don't turn me loose this time, I'm going to take my head and butt you so hard, all the breath going to leave out of your body. Tar Baby still wouldn't say a word. So Brer Rabbit stretched his neck back as far as he could, and he butt that Tar Baby. His head got stuck in the tar, and he couldn't pull it loose. And old Brer Rabbit pushed, he pulled, he squeamed, and he squirmed. But no matter how hard Brer Rabbit tried to get unstuck up, the more stuck up he got stuck up. Brer Rabbit was so stuck up in that tar, he could scarcely move his eyeballs. Well, old Brer Fox and Brer Bear see what's happening, and they come out of the bushes feeling really good, jumping up and down and celebrating and picking at old Brer Rabbit.
Ha! Brer Rabbit, I told you we was going to get you.
Yeah, Brer Rabbit, you've been bossing us around this neighborhood all these years. Now we got you. I'm going to take my fist and knock your head clean off. And old Brer Bear reached back with that big powerful paw to hit Brer Rabbit. But Brer Fox jumped up and he said,
wait a minute, Brer Bear. That's too quick and easy. We got to make him suffer a little bit. I tell you what let's do. Let's build us a fire. And when it's nice and hot, we'll draft him in it and roast him. How you like that?
Well, old Brer Fox and Brer Bear started picking up pieces of wood to start their fire. And while they were doing that, Brer Rabbit was scared. He was shaking, he was shivering, and he was sweating. But one thing about that rabbit, even though he was frightened, even though he was afraid, he was always thinking. He always had that mind going. And pretty soon, he came up with an idea. Well, Brer Fox and Brer Bear came back to light the fire, and old Brer Rabbit says, hey, wait a minute. Listen, why don't you light the fire on this side of me? Because that would burn quicker, see? You know, you can roast me just as hot as you can, but don't chunk me over it in the briar patch. I didn't mean to tell you that, but please, you can do anything. You can cut my feet off. You can cut my head off. You can burn me. You can do anything, but please don't chuck me over in the briar patch. Said Brer Bear. He ain't even scared of being roasted.
Yeah. Well, we just have to do something else to him then. I know. Let's throw him over in the briar patch.
Yeah, that's a good idea, Brer Fox. Come on, let's do that. So they grabbed the rabbit by his ears, pulled him out of the tar, and flung him over into the deepest part of the briar patch where all those juicy stickleberries and thorns were. And you should have heard the noise, the sounds, the cries that came out of that briar patch where the rabbit landed. It was terrible.
Ow! Ouch! Ow! Just...
All of a sudden, all of the ouching and the ouching came to a quiet whisper. Sounded like old Brer Rabbit was about to die. And old Brer Fox and Brer Bear looked at each other. They patted each other on the shoulder. Big, broad grin came on their face, and they started to celebrate and sing. Old Brer Rabbit ain't gonna be sassy no more. Old Brer Rabbit ain't gonna be bossy no more. Old Brer Rabbit ain't gonna do nothing no more. This is the end. Brer Rabbit is dead. And they were jumping around, having themselves a good time, just celebrating about old Brer Rabbit. While they were celebrating, they heard some rustling in the bushes way over on the other side of the briar patch. And they looked,
And who do you think they see scurrying from under the bushes at the other end of the briar patch? That's right, old Brer Rabbit, just as frisky as old Cricket, laughing and singing and combing the last bit of tar out of his mustache with a piece of briar bush. And Brer Rabbit looked up, he says, "Hey there, Brer Fox! What's up, Brer Bear? I told you not to chuck me in the bushes. I told you not to chuck me in that briar patch. You see, the briar patch is the one place I love more than any in this whole wide world. I was born in the briar patch." Ha! Just threw me in the briar patch. And that's the story of Brer Rabbit and the Tar Baby.
I am Emma Saunders, a lifelong educator in Wilmington, North Carolina. The education of our future generation is the most important investment we can ever make in the lives of our children. It is the key for the success of ourselves and our children. Education is the new game changer, and Nelson Mandela puts it this way: education is the most powerful weapon which you can use to change the world. More than ever, education must be the uniting force for this country. Remember that a better educated world is also a safer and healthier world. It is only when a child is given the tools to understand the world around them are they able to help make better decisions as they develop lifelong habits.
Every time you do the right thing, everything will be all right.
On behalf of everyone here at WHQR and A Season's Griot, we thank you for listening. Thanks to wonderful storyteller Linda Goss, who told The Frog Who Wanted to Sing, and our poet in residence, Beverly Fields Burnett, who wrote and recited her poem, Artichoke Pickle Passion. Thanks to Janae and Jasmine Young for writing and reciting their poems. Thanks also to Jessica Franks, Emma Saunders, Joshie Graham, and Kenyetta Wilson Graham for appearing in the program. A Season's Griot is written, directed, and hosted by Madafo Lloyd Wilson. Be sure your bookcase contains Madafo's book, The Greedy Hyena. Our producer is Mary Bradley. Our editors are Sarah Wood and Asia Brown. Our technical director is Asia Brown. Thanks also to George Scheibner and Michelle Crouch. This program is a production of WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, North Carolina. More information about A Season's Griot is available at whqr.org. Support for this program comes from this station and Public Radio International stations nationwide, and is made possible in part by the PRI Program Fund, whose contributors include the Ford Foundation and the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation. This project received support from the North Carolina Arts Council, a division of the Department of Cultural Resources, with funding from the National Endowment for the Arts. Thank you for listening to A Season's Griot. We look forward to presenting next year's Kwanzaa program. Until then, we wish you and your loved ones peace and blessings in your homes and heart. Happy Kwanzaa!
PRI, Public Radio International.
Support comes from the Precious Gem.
I'm Reggie Octowan. I have a passion for what I'm privileged to do every day. Custom design and handcraft jewelry to last more than a lifetime.
ThePreciousGems.com.
Support comes from Commonwealth Assisted Living, committed to making life easier for both residents and their families. 11 communities throughout Hampton Roads. CommonwealthAL.com.
You've been listening to A Season's Griot, special program for this holiday season. Stay tuned for Marketplace Money. That's coming up next. Rain through the day. Temperature is getting up perhaps to 60 degrees. Right now it's 54 in downtown Norfolk. This is Public Radio for Eastern Virginia, 89.5 WHRV Norfolk, 88.5 WHRG Gloucester Point, 90.1 WHRX Nassauwattox, 91.9 WHRE Eastville, and 88.1 WHRL Emporia.